ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 19, entitled The Appearance of Shukadev Goswami, text number 12. Sukopavishteshu, atha teshu, bhuyaha, krita pranamaha, svachakirshitam, yat vigyapayam, asa, vivikta cheta upastito gre vigrihita panihi sukopaviste svatate shubhuya krita prata pranama svachakirshitam yat vigyapayamasa vivikta cheta upastito gre vigrihita pani. Happily upavishteshu, all sitting down, atha thereupon, teshu, unto them, the visitors, bhuyaha, again, krita pranamaha, having offered obeisances, sva, his own, chikirshitam, decision of fasting, yad, who, vigyapayam, asa, submitted, vivikta chetaha, one whose mind is detached from worldly affairs, upasthitaha, being present, agre, before them, abhigrahita, panihi, humbly with folded hands. Translation. After all the rishis and others had seated themselves comfortably, the king, humbly standing before them with folded hands, told them of his decision to fast until death. Responsively, please repeat. After all the rishis and others had seated themselves comfortably, the king, humbly standing before them with folded hands, told them of his decision to fast until death. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Although the king had already decided to fast until death on the bank of the Ganges, he humbly expressed his decision to elicit the opinions of the great authorities present there. Any decision, however important, should be confirmed by some authority. That makes the matter perfect. This means that the monarchs who ruled the earth in those days were not irresponsible dictators. They scrupulously followed the authoritative decisions of the saints and sages in terms of Vedic injunction. Maharaj Parikshit, as a perfect king, followed the principles by consulting the authorities, even up to the last days of his life. Sukopaviste svatate shubhuya krita pranama svachakishitam yat vigyapayam masa vivikta cheta upastito greva grihita panihi. After all the rishis and others had seated themselves comfortably, the king, humbly standing before them with folded hands, told them of his decision to fast until death. This was probably the most important decision that Maharaj Parikshit ever made. He wasn't an old man. He was relatively young. He had a good wife and children. He had a kingdom. He was worshipped by his subjects. He was very popular. There were no irreligious activities in his kingdom. Everything was auspicious. And yet, because of the curse of Sringi, the young Brahmana boy, actually you could say he was Brahma Bandho, or an unqualified Brahmin boy, which is symptomatic of this age of Kali Yuga. People appear in the dress of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya. Sudra doesn't need a qualification. And they pretend that they are of this caste or that caste. But actually, kalo shudra sambhava. Everybody in this age is fallen. Everybody is born without any religious ceremony, without any proper purificatory ceremony. Everyone is engaged. Judge by the result. Judge by the activities. Judge by the atmosphere, the environment that we live in. If there were actually qualified brahmanas, the whole atmosphere would change. It would be more like Dwapar, at least, if not Treta or Satyuga. Kali Yuga means the absence of people who are qualified to chant mantras. Kali Yuga means the degradation of the social system. It was Arjuna's petition for not fighting, that if I fight and kill, the family traditions will be destroyed. And this will lead to the degradation of society. And the result of that will be Varna Shankara, unwanted population. So Arjuna was right. Of course, Krishna wanted him to fight to demonstrate another principle. And that is that the highest authority in our lives for anything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Arjuna gave many religious reasons why he should not fight, and many of them were correct. So because he fought under the order of Krishna, on the one side, we see that Kali Yuga has progressed very nicely. Only 5,000 years, another 427,000 more years to go. Still, in 5,000 years, how degraded life has become. So, the point here is that authority, people have lost any sense of respect for authority. And it is advancing more and more. Even a few hundred years ago, at least in India, but even in the rest of the world, we find that people had respect for their elders. People had respect for their parents. Young people respected their parents. People respected the government. People respected businessmen. Businessmen would keep a set of books, and those books could be used in a court of law because businessmen had some integrity. They knew that I may be cheating the government or the public, but I cannot cheat Paramatma. I will suffer for this cheating business. So they were honest to a degree. I mean, a businessman can never be completely honest. That's an oxymoron. Honest and businessman do not go together. The word honest and businessman. You know, because a businessman says, "My dear sir, for you, I make no profit today." In fact, I just spoke to some devotees the other day, and they had been to one businessman, and they had got some work done. Actually, he was an astrologer. And he was saying that, "For you, I'm making no profit. This is my, this rate, I don't make any profit. This is just my time." But without making profit, how can he be in business? It's ludicrous to go into business and then lose money on all of your clients. So, honesty is a problem, but at least people had some basic respect. Even Vaishyas respected the government. For example, in the Ramayana is explained, Lord Ramchandra explains that a businessman should give 1/6 of his income in taxes. Now, if the government could get that message and just charge 1/6, I'm sure business people would pay it. But here we find that Maharaj Parikshit, not only was he respected by the people, but he had respect for his superiors. So the sages were very, very great sages. From all over the universe they came with their disciples. Vyasadeva was there, and Bhrigu Rishi was there. So many great sages were there with their, along with their disciples. Because it was a very exciting moment, this descendant of the Pandavas, great personality and a great line, his father and his father's father, a great bloodline. This person was now taking a decision to spend 7 days fasting till death. That is very austere. Not drinking, just eating food, he could have lasted, just drinking water, he could have lasted much longer. But he was not going to eat, and he was not going to drink also. And he was not going to sleep either. Because when you fast, The first few days you may feel full of energy, but after 6 or 7 days, you sleep. You lie down. You get tired. Of course, fasting on water, you can last longer. I remember once I fasted on water for 25 days. So I lasted up until about the 17th day or something. Then I just lay down. I couldn't sleep, but I couldn't sit either. I was very exhausted. But Parikshit was going to sit up, and he was going to ask questions about the purpose of life. Actually, first of all, he was going to inquire from the assembled sages, what is the duty of someone at the time of death? What should he do? What should he inquire about? What should be his activities? Now, most of us here feel that I have 7,000 days left. We're probably pretty confident about that. I don't think anyone is thinking that we have 7 days left. But you just never know how many days you have left. You might not even have 7 days. You might only have 7 hours left or 7 minutes. So therefore, we should also be in the same consciousness as Parikshit. We should be inquiring from the sages. And if we have got a fixed conception, if we've got a preconception that a sage is someone who lives in the Himalayas and has a long white beard and round eyes and smokes ganja, well, that's a mistaken conception. A Mahatma, a saintly person, is described in the scripture. Mahatmanastu mam partha, daivin prakritimashi, bhajantya nanya manaso. The saintly person is on the transcendental platform. Satatam kirtayantoma, yutantascha dridavrataha, namasyantascha mam bhakya nitya yukta upasate. He's always nitya yukta. He's constantly, from morning till night, engaging in various kinds of service to the Supreme. Navalakshana, there are 9 different kinds of devotional service. Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Bandhanam, Archanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam. So many different kinds of devotional service, and the real sadhana, the real saintly person, is simply engaged from morning to night. So we have to find such a person. And like Maharaj Parikshit, we have to engage in uttarpasana, questions and answers. Not questions and answers, where is food, where is sex, where is shelter. This is the vishayi. This is the activity of the materialistic man. For devotees of the Lord who want to achieve success, like Maharaj Parikshit, he achieved success. He achieved perfection. He got free. Maharaj Parikshit got free from the cycle of birth and death. No more suffering, no more pain. He got free by following this process. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. He practiced bhakti yoga. Janayatyasu vairagyam jnanam cha yada hoitukam. Automatically he was detached. He became detached. He did not have to endeavor extraneously. He did not have to perform rigid austerities. In the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which describes divisions of faith, austerity, which is done out of pride, out of ego, which is torturous to the body and to the super soul within. That type of austerity is austerity in the mode of ignorance. Mode of ignorance is characterized by sleep, indolence, intoxication, darkness, confusion. So austerity, which is done in that way, it leads us to the mode of ignorance. Austerity should be performed for pleasing the Supreme Lord. And in this age, the way to please Krishna, yajna vai Vishnu, the yajna is sankirtan yajna, bhakti yoga. This is the process. 647. Yoginam api sarvesham. Of all yogis, madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate omam. Same yuktatamo mata. My opinion, Krishna says, yuktatama, the highest of all, is someone who engages in the austerity of practicing bhakti yoga. Now, is bhakti yoga an austerity? Yes, it is. When it is performed according to Shruti, Smriti, Purana, Pancharatra, when it is performed properly under the guidance of authority, then it's the greatest austerity. Then it leads to the greatest benefit. One very quickly attains love of God. One surpasses all other forms. Aho bata swapachato gariyan yajjivagre bhartate namasugyan te pusta puste juhu gusasnuraya vamanu churnama pranantu yeke. Someone who is chanting the holy names of the Lord sincerely, trying to avoid the dasnam aparad. Chanting is also a science. A parrot can chant. Parakeet, a parrot, you can teach him, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He'll say Hare Krishna. But that's not spiritual Hare Krishna. That's parrot chanting. I can play back this tape recorder. Have the tape recorder chant Hare Krishna. That is something different. But real chanting is performed from the heart. Real chanting is performed while sacrificing pranar artar diolata manasa deho gil yokichu mor arpilatu apade nanda kishore. Bhakti Vinod Thakur could chant Hare Krishna. He was a grihastha. He was married. He had a number of children. His wife died to take care of his children, etc., to help him in his devotional service. He married again, the second wife. Of course, both his wives chanted Hare Krishna. Otherwise, they didn't get rice. For every name, they got one grain. All right, just as Mahaprabhu also. That austerity was there. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches us everything we offer to the lotus feet of Krishna. Then we can chant Hare Krishna with feeling. Janma Aishwarya Sruta Sri Vir Edamana Madhapuman Naiva Hati Abhidatum Vaitvamma Kinchana Gocharam. Krishna is Akinchana Gochara. He's purchased by someone who has no material attachments. If someone's interested in good birth, in nice material facility, in sense gratification, material opulences, beauty, strength, wealth, fame, knowledge, detachment. Someone is interested in pursuing these things for his own aggrandizement, thinking, these things will bring me happiness. I know it because Mr. So-and-so has it, and so-and-so industrial has it, and someone lives on Malabar Hill, and someone lives in Jew Scheme. Therefore, I know that these things will bring me happiness because they must be happy. Well, Kunti Devi had more wealth than all of these people put together. Maharaj Yudhisthira and the Pandavas said, inconceivable wealth. They lived in the time when they would drink from a golden jug and throw it away. Now it is Jutha. They lived in that time. We drink from a plastic cup and we save it and we think we're so opulent. But Maharaj Yudhisthira, Arjuna, for the yajna, Yashwamedha yajna, Arjuna went to collect gold and jewels and so much opulence that one king had thrown away. Actually, had given in charity to the brahmanas. The brahmanas thought, we have no use for it. We're traveling. Can't carry all this jewelry and gold. Let's throw it away. And that is material opulence. But still, foolishly, we're attracted. The pauper, the poor man, the pauper, he's proud of his penny, his paisa. I've got a paisa he doesn't have. That is our attachment that we have to cut. Chidyante hridaya granthis sarva sankshaya. We have to cut the knot of material affection. Kunti tells us that if you want these things, then you should know there's no happiness in them and you won't get Krishna. You won't get happiness from your material things and you risk losing the opportunity of human life to realize your relationship with God. Bhogaisvarya prasaktanam dayapriti chetasam. Bewildered in mind. Material opulence, it bewilders us. We do become bewildered. Everyone is in danger. Everyone is in danger of being bewildered and bound up by the modes of nature. Tied up, bound up. Mithu sansara bhartmani asrata dhanasya purusya dharmasyasya parantapa prapyama. Because we have material opulence, we don't have faith in God. I don't need God. I have my opulence. My car will protect me. My house, my bank account, my bodyguards with their submachine guns, they'll all protect me. My cell phone will protect me. All these toys that we have. Unless we understand that I am Krishna's and everything that I have is Krishna's and should be used in His service. Unless we develop this consciousness. It is not that we have to give up the material world. If I walk through the Bank of America, and I say, I am renouncing all of this. People will say, oh, you budu, you don't understand. What do you own in Bank of America? Nothing. How you can renounce the Bank of America? You don't even own $1. We can't renounce, and yet we can't get attached. We can't renounce, but we can't get attached. What do? We give it to Krishna. We get attached to Krishna. Krishna's service. So, Maharaj Parikshit, he was going to declare his intention to commit suicide. He was going to commit suicide by fasting. And he wanted to confirm it with the authorities. So they all came there. And Sukadeva Goswami was chosen to speak. And Parikshit Maharaj was to hear. Actually, this was all decided. First of all, he put his petition before these sages. He was a righteous king. Prabhupada comments in a number of places that although there was monarchy, and today the demon crazy democratists, they criticize. This is not government of the people, by the people. Prabhupada called it mob rule. Mob rule. Ruling by the mob. In other words, the gangsters, just the everybody. Alright, okay, democracy. But the king was not a dictator. He also took advice from the brahmanas, from the sages, from his own council, from the people even. He would make a referendum. He would go out, Lord Ram would go out into his own kingdom to see what the people were thinking and saying and doing. They took decisions very carefully, only after consulting. Even if you have a democracy, you still elect someone who will be responsible, who takes decisions. You still have a king. The only difference is that these kings are not qualified. They have no training. They only have training in politics. You get a major in university in politics, or you become a lawyer in Allahabad, then you make some nice speeches, make some nice promises, and then the people vote for you. And then you're in charge. And then all the fun. Why do you think? There are two things that get more newspaper attention, media attention, than any other thing. One is Bollywood. What's this movie star doing? Who's she going with now? Who's this starlet? Who's this? Who's that? And politics. It's because it's practically the same profession. And I don't mean that Hollywood is politicians. I mean that the politicians are movie actors, practically. There's a drama going on. All of Delhi is a stage, and Parliament are merely players. Shakespeare. Yes, that's right. Visvasa naiva kartavya strishu raja kaleshuja. Such materialistic men we can't trust. That is why in the Shastra we are given a vision of what is a real politician. What are his activities? Oh, we've seen the politicians who fast until death. And then about 5 or 6 days or 10 days into their fast, you know, when they've gotten as much media attention as they can get, then someone comes and says, Mahatmaji, please don't keep your fast. We will listen to you now. And so he breaks his fast and gets a few more votes. That's just drama. That's a big drama. Pariksit died. Pariksit actually fasted till death. He was serious. He was a very serious man. And he surrendered to his authorities. And all of us must realize that we all need someone to surrender to, and we all have someone to surrender to. We need it, every one of us. Sometimes we hear, especially in the West, where there's a greater predominance of the modes of nature, especially tamoguna, women feel suppressed, that why should I surrender to my husband? In India, of course, for generations, women have understood a very simple principle. Keep the house nice. By someone's got to lead, so the wife surrenders to her husband. He becomes Pati Bhagawan. And this is culture, Sanskriti. But in the West, there's no such Sanskriti. It's, you know, a competition. Who will wear the pants in the family? Women literally wear the pants in the family. I have one disciple in Europe. His wife goes to work and earns the paycheck, and he stays home and takes care of the children and cooks. There's a law in Czechoslovakia, in Czech Republic, there's a law now that the men must do 50% of the housework. They must do it. It's a law. A woman can take her husband to court. He wouldn't wash the dishes, Your Honor. Throw him in jail. Anyway, these things are going on. But I try to tell them, look, it's not a question of being male or feeling female. We're all in relationship to Krishna. We're all Prakriti. Prakritim, Purusham, Chaiva, we're all female in relationship to Krishna. Only here in the material world do we try to enjoy. In the spiritual world, we're all enjoyed. But here, we're playing Prakriti and Purusha, but everybody is trying to be enjoyer. The woman is trying to enjoy, the man is trying to enjoy. Just they have different bodies, but in their own ways they're all exploiting. The whole material world, everyone's guilty. I'm sure you could go to Santa Cruz lockup and find lots of people in there who are relatively innocent. You know, they got tortured heinously and then they admitted to their crime. After having their eyes burned out and their, you know, their whatever they do to them. Oh, yes, I did it. Anyway, these things are going on. But the point is that in God's court, in the court of Yamaraj, there are no mistakes like that. We're all guilty here. We represent a very small portion of the living beings. In the spiritual world, There are far more souls who never left Krishna's lotus feet. But we have misused our independence because we are Tathastha Shakti. Every jiva has the potential to choose not to serve Krishna. Very few ever do, and we're the lucky few. We get to be God for a little while in the material world. In between our suffering, we're able to think, God, it's so good to be independent. I'm free. I'm God. I make my own decisions. I do what I like. And then slam, we get a toothache. Our factory burns down. Our children and wife run away. Our hair falls out. Whatever, we get some disease. That's the kind of God world we have. That's the kind of world we have to enjoy in. Aren't we lucky? We can be the enjoyers here. Isn't that nice? Well, just look around. See if you're actually enjoyer. See if you really enjoy all this suffering. It's illusion. It's ignorance. You're not enjoying. You're suffering. Because you're Satchit-Ananda, and everything you have, everything that you want, everything that you enjoy is Asat, Achit, Nirananda. So how can there be any enjoyment here? It's a contradiction. You can only be happy when you're in the spiritual world, and you can only be in the spiritual world when you agree to accept the supreme authority of Sri Krishna. How do you accept that authority? By accepting the authority all the way down to parampara. So women have to surrender to their authority, if it's their husband, their father, their oldest son, under the protection. It doesn't mean slavery. There's room for dialogue, there's relationship, but ultimately the authority is there. And the husband has to accept authority. Everybody, I have authority. I have to accept the authority of the GBC body or the assembly of Vaishnavas. Here, Maharaj Parikshit, the supreme executive head of state, is accepting the authority of men who have no money. They have no opulence. They can't compete with Maharaj Parikshit. He can put on his armor and fight with all of them. Of course, they have Brahma Tejas. As Vishwamitra found out, Vasishtha could fight when he needed to. But the point is, Maharaj Parikshit was very powerful, and yet he surrendered to these humble sages and accepted their decision. And their decision was good for him, and it was good for us, because in the association of devotees, decisions are taken that are beneficial for everyone. Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita not for Arjuna. He spoke the Bhagavad Gita for all of the jivas, for everyone. So we also must surrender to Srila Prabhupada and his representatives, temple president, the authorities, our family. That mood we must develop, not this arrogant, belligerent mood. Ishwaroham aham bhogi siddham balavan sukhi. Not that, that's demonia. Get rid of the demon in you. Kick out the demon. Fight the demon. Become a devotee. You are a devotee. Manmana, bhava mad bhakto, madhyaji, mam, namaskuru. Everyone bows down to Krishna. Everyone. Some do it voluntarily during their lifetime, feeling great ecstasy, and some fall flat like a stick, like Dilip, Malhotra. I remember when he got whacked on the head, he went, fell down, bowing to the deities. He was very lucky. You don't know who Dilip Malhotra is, but he was part of the history of Hare Krishna Land. I spent a couple of weeks in Santa Cruz lockup by his mercy. Me and Mahabadi Budi and Ruchi Seva Mogalila. Huh? Patipavana. Even they wanted to catch Giridhar Swami. They named him. But he had just arrived that day by plane from Ahmedabad, so they couldn't catch him. They named him, but then he said, I just came today, how could I have been there? So, everybody, either living or dying, you surrender to Krishna. So better make it anukulyena Krishna anushilanam rather than pratikulyena. Unfavorably, well, you get benefit, but long term, roundabout way. The real prayas in spiritual life is to surrender to Krishna favorably. The real ultimate immediate benefit. You do get benefit if you don't surrender to Krishna, because Krishna is very kind. He'll force you one day or another. But if you have to, just like here's another illusion people think. And in the West, they condemn the idea of reincarnation, at least some Christian leaders do, because it allows people to think, well, I won't surrender to Krishna this lifetime. I'll wait 2-3 lifetimes. I'm enjoying now. Why should I surrender now? I'm enjoying. Let me surrender next life or the life after that. So the Christians say this is giving people a chance to not surrender to God. But actually, the fact is, it's going to be just as difficult next lifetime or the life after. Supposing you have to climb up some stairs to the top of the tower there. The lift is not working. So you think, let me wait. I'll wait for half an hour or an hour. Then I'll climb. It'll be easier then. No. It's still going to take, it's just a long climb up to the top of the fifth floor of the Prabhupada's quarters. You have to climb up all the steps. It's not going to be easier if you wait for an hour. In fact, it may be harder because you'll be a little bit older and more out of breath and you don't have so much strength. So don't wait. You have a chance now. Someone was just commenting that we all need a devotee who can guide us in spiritual life. It is called spiritual master or a spiritual master. Now, some people say, well, Prabhupada is there and we don't need any more spiritual masters. We'll just make Prabhupada the spiritual master of everyone for the rest of time. But right now we feel Prabhupada's intensity. Just only a few years ago, 24 years ago, 25 years ago, Prabhupada was here. And we served him. Just only a short time ago. Many of you were living at that time, and you could have had his association if it had been ordained by Krishna. So but just a short time ago. So we feel that intensity or connection. But 500 years from now, time erodes memories and people's presence. So 500 years from now, people will definitely need someone to connect them with Srila Prabhupada. There's no doubt that Prabhupada is our primary Siksha Guru, is and always will be. And his books and tapes are there. But it is not quite enough. We need inspiration from a living person who can instill in us the enthusiasm. Just like here is explained that Maharaj Parikshit enthusiastically submitted himself, offered obeisances. How to develop that enthusiasm? By contact with people who are pure. Prabhupada's main qualification, of course, for us he was the most beautiful man in the universe. For us he was the most flamboyant. But relatively speaking, he wasn't as materially charismatic as some. But because he spoke with purity, because he was a mirror, a transparent via medium for Krishna, because that was is what was coming through him. Therefore, many people came forward, heard him, and surrendered to him, surrendered their lives. So many people gave up their material situation. Miss Kinsam, Akinsam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells us, Niskinchanasya Bhagavat Bhajanon Mukasya Paramparam Jigamishwar Bhavasagarasya. If you want to cross over that ocean, Bhavasagar, Paramparam, you want to go to the other side, the distant shore of the ocean of suffering, then you have to become Niskinchana, and you have to learn how to avoid Sandarshanam. Sandarshanam, just like Darshan, association, but Sandarshanam means association for a material purpose. So those who are engaged in associating Sandarshanam Vishayinam with materialistic people, Atha Yoshitam cha, also those who are interested in chasing after women, or women who are interested in sense gratification, Strishu Raja Kaleshu cha, you can't trust a politician or a woman, or you can't trust anyone who's interested in sense gratification. And generally, someone who is not philosophically inclined, someone who doesn't use discrimination, it's hard for them to not get enmeshed, entangled, caught up in indriya, tripti, sense gratification. Very hard. Therefore we find children. You teach them to be cute. Put a dhoti on them, tilak, and get them to say Prabhupada. Their first word, Prabhupada. It's very cute, and everyone says, oh, great devotee. But after a little while, we see that their real interest is sense gratification, and if you allowed them, they would probably do a few things that wouldn't be so pleasing to Prabhupada. So they have to be controlled. They have to be trained. When they grow up, then they, at 12, 13, they become a little philosophical. They can understand more. But similarly, women are like that in the sense that they can be misled, cheated. So they have to be kept engaged in religious activities, spiritual activities. They find those activities very satisfying. When they're properly engaged, they feel very happy and blissful, more so than speculating men. But they must be engaged properly. Therefore, if they're not, we find this situation today. Chaos, anarchy, disturbance, everyone is disturbed. Sandarshinam vishayinam atayoshitam cha hanta hanta vishabhakshanatopya sadhu asadhu. Very unfortunate. It is like drinking poison, visha, knowing to associate in that way. So if we want to become advanced in spiritual life, then we have to enthusiastically follow the example set by Maharaj Parikshit. We have to follow our authorities. We have to follow Srila Prabhupada. We have to follow all the way along. Mahajano yena gatha sapantaha dharmasya tatvam nitam guhayam. The symptom of adharma is that I will not follow. We must follow. Everything that we do, every decision that we make, we should discuss it with our best friends, Suridam Sarva Bhutanam. The best friend is Krishna and Krishna's devotees, because they will guide you how to be spiritually, eternally happy. You can ask advice from anyone materially. And they may or may not give you relative good advice, but ultimately, it's simply a game, it's simply an act, it's simply a drama, how to get ahead. So, if we're serious, we'll follow the footsteps of Maharaj Parikshit and follow our authorities, our immediate authorities, our elevated authorities, our gurus, our param gurus. So we'll stop there.